Please rise for the reading of the scripture if you're able. I'll be reading from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rains for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down hails like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes the wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinance to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. This, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In a 2022 TED Talk entitled Why Art is a Tool for Hope, the French artist, simply known as J.R., describes the process of constructing one of his black and white photography murals at a maximum security prison in California. At one of the five most violent prisons in the United States, J.R. and a few of his team were allowed to go into the prison gymnasium to talk with a number of inmates. As they sat together, he described the kind of work he does and he described his process. He told the men that if any of them didn't want to stay, they were welcome to leave, and a few of them did. JR had already selected the place where the mural would go, the concrete pad in the outside yard. He took photos then of the inmates from a ladder, looking down at each man, and then the men went into another room and recorded their stories, whatever and how much detail he wanted to go into. JR's team returned to their studio and began printing the larger-than-life images onto paper that would eventually be glued onto the cement. When they returned to the prison, the inmates assisted in gluing the large rolls of paper onto the cement. After the inmates had been working for a little while, some of the guards began to help as well. And a process which was expected to take 2 to 3 days took only hours. Once the mural was complete, since no one could really see the true effect of the piece, a drone was taken up into the sky to take photos of the installation. The prisoners had never seen a drone before and were amazed at its capabilities and were in awe of the finished product. They were proud to have been part of such a project. After the installation, JR got permission from the inmates to share their photos and stories on social media. And some amazing things began to happen. The men began to feel connected to the outside world in a way that they hadn't before. One inmate hadn't seen his daughter in 14 years. But after she read her father's story online, she decided to visit him and began to visit each and every week. Guards began to read the stories about the prisoners and began to understand them in a new way. JR and his team were able to share some of the responses that had been posted with the men, and that made a difference too. Eventually, a third of the men who had participated in the project were released early because of their behavior, which had changed by their involvement in this piece of amazing art and all that resulted from it. This is a story about how art and participating in its creation gave hope and new life to men who were living a pretty hopeless existence. After their experience and stories that were shared, they would give hope to others who had heard about it. Our final leading cause of life is hope. But this particular cause requires an adjective. It must be informed hope, because otherwise it's just wishful thinking. The other four causes of life that we've talked about are connection, coherence, agency, and blessing. And they all inform us, and that leads to hope. But it's not just our experience that informs our hope. Brené Brown writes in her book, Atlas of the Heart, "We need hope like we need air. To live without hope is to risk suffocating on hopelessness and despair, risk being crushed by the belief that there is no way out of what is holding us back, no way to get what we desperately need. Hope is a way of thinking, a cognitive process. So hope is not about how we feel, but how we think. We can experience feelings of joy as a result of our hope, but our minds make sense of it all first. The thought put into explaining our scripture text today explains how hope is birthed from this psalm. One of five hallelujah psalms, Psalm 147, like the others, is all about praising God. It's written for God's people, Israel, when they return from exile in Babylon. Most commentators divide the psalm into three parts: a call to praise God, and then the reasons to praise God, and finally going out into the world to continue that praise. Voices praise God for gathering the outcasts and healing the brokenhearted. God is praised because his understanding is beyond measure and because he has lifted up the downtrodden. As the creator of all that is, God brings rain from the clouds and provides food for the animal. God sends snow, hail, wind, and water. God blesses the children of Israel and brings peace. These are the things for which the people will praise God out in the world. And that act of praise is cyclical. God's people are called to praise, and then as a result, they will continue to praise. Furthermore, praising God strengthens us and gives us hope as we remember God's faithfulness, God's redeeming power, and God's guidance. The act of Israel's praise has been passed down for centuries, and as people who believe in Yahweh God, we continue that act of praise. the enumeration of God's acts brings us the informed hope which Gunderson and Praise speak about in their book, Leading Causes of Life. In researching the concept of hope, the authors looked at the works of Greg Friccione and David Ingvar. Ingvar formalizes the concept of hope by speaking about memory of the future. It sounds like an oxymoron, memory of the future. But here's the explanation. The future may well be more powerful in that it can draw us together into taking great risks and facing great dangers because of the prospect of life beyond the present fears. The future draws us as if we remember it already happening. But hope just isn't an individual experience. Friccione says, there is no such thing as autonomous, solitary hope found among humans. This raises the stakes very high, since we are often anxious about future threats to those we love. The more we consider the future, the more expansive and connected our hope must be. We rely on the past to inform the future. We prepare for the future based on what we know from our past experience and the experience of others. Historians look at behaviors of human beings right now in 2025 and then look at similar situations in the past, which informs them to help us prepare for the future. Our hope for the future informs our actions in the present. Perhaps this example will help unpack this and make it come to life. You've probably heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, writing from a Nazi prison, stared directly into the cold-blooded lunacy of evil. He died days before World War II ended in one of Hitler's final acts of meaningless vengeance. So we have no idea what Bonhoeffer would have said as an old man. As a young one, Bonhoeffer built that most wonderful of all human creations, a community of seekers who gathered every day to read scripture and talk about what it called them on what to talk about what it called them to do in the real world. It was a seminary, as despised by the German church as it was by the government, because it showed that there was a way other than fear and death. That community of prayer brought them into deep and compelling connection to each other, in which they could imagine as clearly as a memory the kind world that God was creating out of the broken and bent pieces of the world all around them. They were most fully alive, dancing in the jaws of death. And who is to say that they were naive? A generation after this group died, their words powered others through the darkest days of South African apartheid to see the most progressive constitution on the planet emerge peacefully. Two generations later, our lives draw life from the ones they laid down. We are more coherent, and our agency finds encouragement from their sacrifice. We are blessed and want to be able to bless others with similar courage and wisdom. They hoped, and we are linked in their web of blessing to act. That paragraph from Leading Causes of Life explains not only how hope is based on past human experience, but it also explains how all five leading causes of life rely upon and interact with each other. Connection, coherence, agency, blessing, and hope They all bounce off one another and receive energy from the others. But I won't go too far down that road because that's next week's sermon. But we are a people rooted in hope. Our faith in Jesus is based in the resurrection, in which Jesus Christ proved to us that death is never the end of the story. He died on Friday and rose on Sunday. That very act is an example of profound hope on which an entire religion has been based. Because of Jesus' action 2,000 years ago, we have informed hope that results in us experiencing eternal life here and now, as well as in the future. We rely on informed hope as we plant seeds and anticipate fruit. We rely on informed hope that as we share the good news of Jesus Christ, others will come to believe it as well. We rely on informed hope when we agree to a medical procedure or treatment that will bring healing. We are a people of hope, and our call is to continue to share stories and experiences of hope so that others can become hopeful as well. It's easy to feel hopeless, but the leading causes of life bring hope to the places where despair has reigned. Just like those men in prison at the beginning of the sermon, most likely experiencing hopeless and despair on a regular basis, hope will persevere. It will spread and overcome that which tries to break us. And that is the good news for us today. Amen.